ruin, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny.
I look funny.
But yo, I'm making money, see? So
sometimes you just gotta let the song just play out, Dr. Staley.
Well, you can sing it. You're good.
Here on Sports Medicine, brought to you by Gateway Buick GMC. We're live on 590 The Fan KFNS. We're live at the Slider House at the corner of McKnight and Manchester. Always great to be out here at the Slider House. Again, they've got the patio. People are braving the heat, man. They're out on the patio right now, but it's covered. Got the fans going, so it must be pretty comfortable out there. Their patio voted number one patio in all of St. Louis. Number one. There's a lot of patios, Dr. Staley, in St. Louis. Only one can claim to be number one. You know that.
Well, it's beautiful. You should see it. I'm looking at the fountains, at the trees, at the flowers.
It's great beautiful. Place for families. People bring their kids. Or if you just want to hang out at the bar and watch the game. This is like the one day of the year where there are no sporting events on.
Oh,
that's why they have the ESPYs, right? The ESPYs are tonight. I'm like one of the only people that likes the ESPYs. Nobody else likes the ESPYs.
This is the worst night for sports. I'd agree with that.
And my wife, she doesn't get into sports. We don't watch sports together. Like, she's not into it. She hates it when it's on. But she'll watch the ESPYs because it's kind of like a combination of, like, Hollywood, entertainment, and sports all together. So she gets into that. I think the people at ESPN who run the – I think they do a pretty good job. You know, sometimes it gets a little too much caught up in some of these emotional stories and stuff like that. But you know what? It's all about entertainment.
You got best athletes. You got the supermodels. You got everything they want.
That's why I like the Kardashians.
You like the Kardashians.
Well, I'm not as into the Kardashians as I used to be. Like, and to say I was ever into them is like, I mean, my wife used to watch them. That's everyone's excuse. Like, my wife watches the Kardashians. But she does.
It's hard not to watch them. They seem to be on every channel.
Yeah, she doesn't watch nearly as much as she did. But I'm going back like a year, two, 3 years ago. But it was, I thought it was a show that was probably more so geared for men than it was women. And it was like, you had all these girls, they were always, you know, dressed to get your attention. And they all dated athletes. So
yeah,
it was like,
athletes.
So there were like athletes on the show and these girls in bikinis, you know? So it was just kind of, it was like, is this more for women or is it more for men? Now it's changed, I think, a little bit. And I'm not nearly as into it. Believe me, I'm not. As I once was.
It's hard to say anything bad about them. They have so many followers.
Uh-huh.
And if they ever unleash the followers, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, you don't want to unleash anybody.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's following a Kardashian. All right. We talked about this a little bit. First of all, I got to ask you about hydration because it is hot. And if people are out there running around, you know, some people have a routine. And you know how it is, Dr. Staley from U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, that if you run a certain number of miles per day or have a routine and you fall off of that routine, I mean, people have a real hard time with that. They'll run if it's 10 degrees outside. They'll run if it's 99 degrees outside. But hydration is so important. But then you hear that some of these energy drinks, some of these, you know, sports drinks, that they're not so good for you. I mean, is it purely about water? Is that the best way to stay hydrated?
Well, it's purely about water when you drink the water. If you keep your same routine and on a day like today you run, the problem is you're not going to feel thirsty until it's too late. So you have to hydrate before you go, during the run, and then after the run. But if you wait till after, it's too late. You don't start feeling thirsty until you're already dehydrated.
Really? So it's not about, you shouldn't just start pounding water and Gatorade 5 minutes before you go out for your run, right?
No, that's the night before. I mean, every good athlete knows it's the night before when you have to hydrate. There's no question about it.
And I mean, how much should you be drinking?
Well, I mean, it's different for everybody, but if you're drinking, you know, a gallon at night before you go to the next event, you know, that's perfect. Now you're going to go to the bathroom a lot, so you have to figure out where and when you can start taking it. But
are these sports drinks bad for you?
Some of them are. Some of them are mostly sugar.
Like, you shouldn't drink it as like just like daily ritual. Like, I'm just going to the fridge while you're sitting watching TV and just grab a Gatorade, right? Probably not that good for you.
I'd rather you drink a G2 instead of just the regular Gatorade.
What's the difference?
Less carbohydrates, less sugar. I mean, that's the key. I think the sugar in these drinks, you know, entice the kids because they taste great.
Right.
But the problem is it's not good for you. Mm-hmm. You know, the water content, you know, is going to go right through you. So you need something that's going to, you know, hydrate you, and you can actually not feel hungry in 2 seconds after drinking them.
What were you saying a few weeks ago? There's a procedure that you are doing at your facility there in Kirkwood, the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, that nobody else in the state of Missouri is doing, right?
Yeah, it's a procedure for people that have knee pain that don't want to have surgery or can't have surgery because of their health, or have had surgery and it didn't help. And so we can do this procedure where we take the sensory nerve and ablate it or stop it from hurting and still have perfectly good function of the knee. As a matter of fact, Dr. Lehman had the procedure before he went on the hike to Norway.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. He wanted to be the first one and, you know, called back and said, look, I'm doing my hikes. It feels great.
Wow. And how long ago was that?
2 weeks ago.
Okay. So what are you actually doing versus a normal scope?
So this is taking a probe, and the patient's awake or sitting on a table. We're talking
How
to
painful
him.
Is it?
It's we give a shot of lidocaine.
Okay.
So it's like any shot. You have to numb the skin up.
Uh-huh.
You numb as you go down. But you put this probe in right where the sensory nerve goes into the knee, so not inside the knee, on the outside of the knee, and put a bunch of lidocaine around it, and you turn up the end of the probe, and it gets really hot, burns the, or ablates through radio frequency, the nerve ending, stops the sensation of pain. You do that in three spots. They walk out of the procedure room happy. It's in and out.
And so, I mean, why would somebody want that or need that versus having to have a regular scope? I mean, there's got to be certain situations where you really have no option but the scope, right?
Well, a scope is good for meniscus tears, mm-hmm. good for ACL tears, good for the ligaments. This procedure is more for people that have bad arthritis.
Okay.
That the last thing you want to do is get a total knee put in, whether it's because they have issues with their heart or their lungs or other issues that they just can't have a total knee, or they don't want the idea of having a metal knee inside, or the rehab, they don't have time for rehab. So this is a procedure you can do literally in under a half hour. Patient's awake, they walk in, they walk out, that's it.
And how did you learn this procedure, and why aren't we seeing more doctors in the state or
this procedure
in St. Louis doing it?
This procedure just became FDA approved, and so it was on national news about 3 weeks ago. And again, they took patients before and after and talked to them and said, my pain's gone, I can walk, I wasn't going to have a total knee surgery, or I had a total knee surgery and it didn't work, which we hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This procedure takes the pain away, but now they can go out and walk and golf and do the things they want to do.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So how many of these are you doing per day, you think?
You know, we'll probably end up doing about 3 to 4 a day. Maybe once or twice a week once mm-hmm. it gets going.
And Dr. Lehman, he had, I mean, I know there's HIPAA laws involved
yeah.
here, but no, I don't know what you can talk about with his particular situation, but you basically gave
I
him
have,
three injections and then
yeah,
he's good to go.
I have his permission. He said it was fine. So he has a knee from an old athletic injury years ago.
Tennis,
you know, ACL reconstruction. And back in the day when they used to do those surgeries, they took a lot of the cartilage out.
Okay.
And so you end up with arthritis. So it's a painful knee. You know, and he's on his feet going from room to room all day and operating, standing all day. He doesn't want to have a total knee surgery. So he wanted to try something that took literally less than a half hour, got rid of his pain. You know, now he stands and operates and does not have an issue.
Wow, just like that. All right, let's get into some other stuff we wanted to talk about because, you know, I mentioned this before about going to the ER. Some people go to the ER like it's like they're going to the doctor's office, but there are certain situations that call for the ER and there are certain situations that don't. How do you know when to go and when not to go?
Well, we see this all the time now, and the ER is, I don't know if you've been to the ER, but the experience, you'll never forget it.
It's not a fun experience.
It's not a fun experience. You never have any idea when you're actually going to be seen.
Yeah.
Is it 1 hour? Is it 6 hours? Is it 12 hours? I mean, it's
doesn't matter what the injury is.
It doesn't matter what the injury is. So if we can steer people away from the ER, the more the better. Now, there's exceptions. If you're having chest pain, you're having, you know, issues.
If you're shot in the leg.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's an ER. That's not something you want to go to the urgent care for. So the chest pain, the possibility of a stroke where you're slurring your speech or you can't move your arm, you know, and you know, any type of injury where it's, you know, obviously bad, and the ER is fine. They get you in right away for those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
Urgent cares, you're going to find almost in every corner nowadays. And that's really sprung up the past few years.
Yeah.
And much faster.
Mm-hmm.
They can do pretty much everything the ER can, short of treat the heart attack and the stroke.
But there's certain things they can't do, right? Where they, I mean, can they diagnose you with random illness? I mean, like strep throat, whatever it is, right? They can do all that, right?
Absolutely. And a lot of people are starting to use that. Mm-hmm. Almost more than their primary care doctor.
And the doctors there, they know what they're doing. I mean, that's the thing I think where, like, I think that urgent care used to be labeled in the past. And I think we're getting away from that a little bit more now because we're seeing more of these pop up in good areas. They're not, you know, maybe you don't have to drive as far. You can almost find, almost like Walgreens now where they pop
it
up
is almost
all
like
over the place.
Yeah.
And but you used to, you know, be curious or wonder how good the treatment is that you would receive at some of these facilities. But I've been to an urgent care on a couple different occasions, and I've had great experiences there.
I would think that 90 to 95% of the experiences are going to be perfectly fine. Now you're always going to have some experiences where it doesn't go well, but again, most of the time they can handle almost anything. Now, we'll still get calls in the office asking, you know, can we come in? Do I need to come in for this? Where should I go? It's going to cost money to go to the urgent care. And if your primary care can see you, you know, that's still the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. They know you. They know your history. They know all about you. So, again, that's something that, you know, if somebody calls me, like it happened yesterday, somebody called me and said, you know, I have some swelling on my elbow, and it's kind of warm. What do I do? Like, well, that's kind of scary. Come on in. Took one look at it and said, okay, that's a bad case of cellulitis. You have to go to the hospital. We have to start IV antibiotics. And I don't know how fast that would have been if you had to go to the ER or urgent care, but now we can say, okay, that's, boom, a direct admit. That was a good call. You have to come in. We'll send you right over right away.
Mm.
So those kind of people, just call your doc. You know, we take those calls all the time, and we can sort it out.
All right. So, I mean, that's interesting because, I mean, some people who don't have, like, a primary care physician, they just think that they can just go to the emergency room. But it costs a lot more in the emergency room as well, right?
Well, it's going to cost you and me a lot more if they keep going to the emergency room. Absolutely.
But you're not a doctor's office, though, right?
That's right. But, you know, there's certain times when you should go and certain times when it's just going to clog up, you know, the ER. There's not a great answer for that yet, but the urgent cares are really starting to take that over.
Right.
Still no place. You still can't use that as your primary care. That's still more important.
All right, we got to take a break. We're live at the Slider House. I'm Andy Strickland, Dr. Steven Stay.